1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me read the last verse of verse 40 of chapter 14. Let all things be done decently and in order. And it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas," that was Peter, "then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain even unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that he was seen of James, and of all the apostles, and last of all, Paul said he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, and it never is. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but it was the grace of God which was in me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raise not. For if the dead raise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you're yet in your sins. Then they also which are asleep, which have already died, those who have died in Christ, they are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slip. Now what's verse 21? For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, and afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued under him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. We'll be looking there at there in verse 22. In Adam, all die. We'll be speaking about spiritual death. Here in those four words, we see what happened when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. What happened? In Adam, all died. It is important for men to understand those words and what they mean, not just in their minds, but in their heart, because when men don't understand that in Adam all die, then they don't understand any of the rest of the book. If they don't think that everyone died in Adam, and they think maybe that Adam just stubbed his toe or something, well, then there's a little bit of good in everyone. That it's by chance, and it's not by chance, it's on purpose. But they don't understand it. In Adam. In Adam. All that were in Adam. When he sinned, we sinned. When he sinned, all of his descendants became mortal, subject to sickness, disease, and death. Every one of them. And we still see that. One day we'll leave this world, our bodies will give away, and we'll experience physical death. Then our children, they will live in their generation. And then when it will come, their bodies will give out and they will die. Because we've sinned in Adam, our understandings are darkened. We know this even as we try to read and try to understand. Unless God opens up our understanding and enlightens our understanding, we can't see or understand. We don't have the ability. By nature, we are defiled, or our nature is toward everything that is evil. We're all born sinners in a state of spiritual death. We are born, as the scriptures tell us in Ephesians 2, we are all by nature children of wrath. Children of wrath. And men have problems with that because it doesn't go along with their thinking. You know, they try to think, well, a child is innocent to a certain age. No, they're born, come forth from the womb speaking lies. We go astray as soon as we are born. We go astray. Why? We inherited that from Adam. When Adam, in Adam, all die. You know why? He was our representative. He stood in our stead. What is the result of Adam's sin? Well, as we're looking at tonight, the result is spiritual death. He was our representative. He represented all of us. And when he sinned, we sinned. When he disobeyed, we disobeyed. Though Adam is a representative of us, that simple act of eating whatever the fruit was, which was forbidden, his act of sin was much more complex than we can begin to imagine. As I've said maybe last week or the week before, he sinned against light. This man's not ignorant. This man is brilliant. This man's living in a perfect body. Not under the curse of the law, not under the curse of sin. And in a perfect environment. And he sinned. He sinned. He sinned. His sin was an act of ingratitude. Look at everything God gave him. God gave him dominion over everything. He said, one thing you don't do, and he's got to have it. Ingratitude. As we tried to say a couple of weeks ago, you know, right there before Thanksgiving, most men are not grateful. They're not thankful. Where does that come from? That comes from Adam. His sin was an act of willful unbelief. I'm going to do this. And when he did it, he was making God a liar. God said, Adam, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Oh, I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Let God be true and every man a liar. Then his sin was an act of pride. He assumed that he would be a god. Pride. Proud. And then he was selfish. He had disregard for any affections or any care for God. Selfish. All acts of sin have willful unbelief, pride, and selfishness in it. That's us. That's the result of Adam's sin. Why are men so selfish? Sin. Why are men so filled with pride? Sin. Why are men ungrateful? They think God owes them something, don't they? God owes salvation to everybody. God ought to give everybody a chance. Adam's one act of rebellion, sin and disobedience, was a transgression against every one of God's commandments. Because it says in James, if you've broken one, he broke the whole law. Listen, when he chose another God, he made his belly, his lust, his God. When he took God's name in vain, he took God's name in vain when he believed him not. He kept not the rest and estate that God gave him, thus violating and breaking God's Sabbath. He dishonored his Father, which was in heaven. And because he would not honor his Father, as the Bible said, he did not live long in the land that God put him. And then he murdered himself. Old writers used to call it soul murder. He murdered himself and every one of his descendants. Murder. And he committed spiritual adultery and fornication. He went a-whoring after other gods. And he coveted. Thou shalt not covet. And it cost him his life. And it brought death upon his whole family. That's what happened when Adam sinned. And when men today, they've broken all of God's law, every bit of it. There's none righteous, no, not one. What is this? It is totally, total depravity. Immediately after Adam fell, God sought Adam out. God came to Adam and called him. Come in the cool of the day, called him by his grace and promised him a Savior. The seed of the woman. In a couple of weeks, we're going to celebrate. We don't know when our Lord was born, but one day he came. One day he was born. The seed of the woman. He took upon himself human flesh to save his people. Because of what happened in the garden happened so quickly, we're not told all that happened. We don't know. God didn't mean for us to know, or he would have written it. But Adam experienced, as a result of his sin and spiritual death, he experienced it. Some of the sad effects of the fall are revealed in God's word. So I want us to look at seven things, seven consequences of Adam's sin. Number one, corruption. He corrupted the whole human race. In Adam, all died. You think about that. God made him a representative. God made him in such a way so that when he sinned, and he sinned, as we saw last week, when he sinned against that covenant, when he sinned against God, brought in corruption, decay. As soon as he sinned, Adam that was born upright, became unrighteous. There's none righteous, no, not one. The corruption was more than just physical nakedness. Adam and Eve, their souls were naked before God. That's the corruption. You imagine when their eyes were opened, they begin to see. And they begin to see their corruption. Their nakedness, this nakedness of soul, is a lack of righteousness. It's a lack of clothing before God, and only God can give that clothing, which is his perfect righteousness. God didn't leave them naked. He took an animal, he shed blood, substitute, and then he took the skins from that animal and made them coats and put those coats on them and covered their nakedness, their corruption. The nakedness of their body became now an emblem of corruption. and guilt before God. The evidence of this corruption, you want to see how corrupt he was? That as soon as he sinned and his eyes were open, he began to make himself fig leaves, sew them together to make him something to try to cover up his corruption. That's how corrupt he is. You know, if we think about politicians, we say they're all corrupt, and they all are. They're all, you know, how you can tell when a politician's lying when he's moving his mouth. But I'll tell you something worse than that. It's a man standing in a pulpit lying on God. When a man's telling you that you can by your efforts earn a righteousness of your own, that's corruption. There's nothing no more corrupt in God's sight than self-righteousness. Corrupt. Vile. Men will not bow to God's righteousness. Yet all men try to cover up their nakedness by their own works. That's the first thing involved in spiritual death, is corruption. And then secondly is guilt. It was a guilty conscience that made Adam and Eve perceive their nakedness. Guilt. You know, guilt's a horrible thing. Guilt. Just beat down guilt. Never getting away from it. Guilt. Just, Eve, what did we do? Why did we do that? Guilt. And there's no undoing it. There's no relieving it. Sometimes it drives people almost into insanity. Guilty. 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 I saw the other day on the news, sad, you know, talking about teenagers having mental problems. You know, depression, guilt, and shame. And it made it worse during the when they couldn't go to school and, you know, all they could do was be on social media. And one girl said they talk about a beauty that's unattainable. Guilty. Think about taking their lives because they can't live with the guilt. You know, something worse than feeling guilt like that is when you never feel guilt. When God leaves you alone. And he turns you over to a reprobate mind. And you have no shame and no guilt. You've heard me say the scripture says they cannot blush. Guilt. Guilt. A man's got to do something to ease it. He's got to do something. That's why he's so busy. Why I can't get out from under it. Sin brings guilt. Sin brings shame. And then third thing in spiritual death is fear. This is a slavish fear. It is a dread of God. Adam was afraid. Before he wasn't afraid. Afraid. And men have no fear of God before their eyes. They have no reverential fear. This is a slavish fear. And that's a bad way to live. Some people that live in works and guilt and all those things, they're trying to remove the fear. God's not given us the spirit of fear. They ought to fear. They're trying to remove the fear. They don't want to think about death. They don't want to think about those things. They don't want to think about that they're guilty. They don't want to think about it. Makes them afraid. Adam tried to hide himself, but it wouldn't work. You know why? You can't hide from God. How silly was it that Adam would try to hide himself among the shade trees? Yet this is what all men do. When God strips away the fig leaves and their self-righteousness, One day it says that they are going to run to, remember when we went through the book of Revelation, they're going to run to the rocks and the hills and cry for the rocks and the hills to fall on them and cover them from his face. Some people said those rocks and mountains could represent their works. They're hoping to hide themselves behind their works. Those men in Matthew 7 standing before God, they're not afraid. We've done many wonderful works. Doesn't that amount to something? Christ said, I'm telling you, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. I wonder if they're afraid then. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. A God apart from Christ is terrifying. Terrifying. That's why Adam was afraid. The fourth thing is, man, he's corrupt, he's guilt, he's fear, and then he's ignorant. As I've already mentioned, the natural man does not understand anything spiritual. No matter how hard he tries, no matter how many books he reads, no matter how many professions he makes, he cannot understand this book. He cannot understand anything spiritual. Our Lord told Nicodemus, now this Nicodemus was a brilliant man. He knew the law frontwards and backwards. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. Romans 3:11, there is none that understandeth. There's none that seek after God. You know when a man will seek after God? When he has some understanding that he's lost and that he needs God. And that he can't do it himself. That's when he'll seek, and not until. There's none. 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 You meet men, they don't understand. Ignorant. Totally ignorant. Some of them are willingly ignorant. There's none that seek after God. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man, the man that we were born with, receiveth, he receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And the scripture says to believers, you know all things. And they don't know anything. Man is born like a wild ass's coat. Even the old ox knows its owner. Even Danny's cows know where they're going to get something to eat. Man don't have that much sense. You know, as we, up around the house, these wild birds, I've never seen that many this year. I remember seeing them like that when I was a young boy. This time of year, they're getting ready to fly south. I mean, they would be hundreds of them. They've got enough sense to know it's going to be cold. They understand they need to get out of here. And man doesn't. They live their life like there's no tomorrow. We're going to go to such a city and we're going to live and work and we're going to do this and that. Oh, really? If the Lord's will, you'll do this or that. Well, then the fifth thing is banishment. Depart from God, banished from God, from life and all that's good. You know, God didn't ask Adam to leave. In Genesis 3:24, it said, and he drove out the man. You gave him to leave. You are banished from this place. You cannot come in here. Stay out. And he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. we're not only separated from God, we have no communion with God. Man is now at a distance from God. We were afar off. There's a great gulf fixed that we can't cross. And Christ our Lord suffered to bring his people near unto him, and by his blood they that were afar off are now made nigh by his blood, banished. Like he said, depart from me, I never knew you. Then there's condemnation. Like I said, there's guilt and there's condemnation. He that believeth not, now listen, he that believeth not is condemned already. He's already under the condemnation of God. They don't know it. They don't realize it. As soon as Adam and Eve sinned, they are brought under the curse and condemnation of God's law. Like I said, he's not only cursed when he's cast into hell, he's condemned, he's cursed now. Everything he does, even the plowing of the wicked, is an abomination to God. You think about that. There in Genesis 3, when Adam fell, God said to Adam, because you've hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the day of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return to the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And then the last thing, spiritual death brought inability. Man's spiritual death and total depravity has brought man into a state and condition of utter, total helplessness. He has no ability. Sin affected our soul, our body, and our will. Did you know all the members of our body willingly yield to instruments of unrighteousness? Willingly. You can't stop it. Only you don't have the ability. You can't stop a thought. You don't have the ability to keep yourself from a common cold. You don't have the ability. There's nothing in a man that he can do to change his condition. And there's some, I hear them all the time. They say, well, if you'll just say this little prayer, if you'll just be sincere, this is how I was changed and you can be changed. You don't have the ability. Can a leopard change its spots? Can the Ethiopian man change the color of his skin? Why, no. Well, then how can you change yourself which drank iniquity like it's water? We can't. But man thinks he has the ability. Why didn't you look at Adam and say, Adam, why don't you go back in the garden? He can't. He couldn't if he wanted to. He don't have the ability. He gave it up. By nature, we serve our lust and pleasures. And by nature, we love sin. I heard someone say, talking about how he was when he, I think he was in prison. He said for years, I craved sin. You know, when you crave something, I've got to have it. We're all lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Don't you wish you loved God? Well, I do. But we love everything else. We hate the things of God, we hate the good and love the evil, because our carnal mind is enmity against God. Man is without strength. He said no man can, there's the ability, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. We can sin with a high hand and with a willing heart, but no man of his own accord or by his own power can cease from sin, can repent of his sin, and no man of his own ability can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you may believe in your head. The devils believe and tremble. Oh, they believe, okay. They said, if you'll just believe. Why do you believe? You can't even believe till God gives you faith. But if you believe, it's like Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed. It was imputed unto him for righteousness. He believed God. He believed him. Not believed in a God. He believed God. He believed him. Well, how can I believe God? Only by grace. You believe that God can give you the ability? Yes. He give you the ability. He give you the ability to even believe. God says, you're going to have a son, Abraham. Oh, really? I'm almost 100 years old, and Sarah's about 90. And when God told her she's going to have a child, you know what she did? She laughed. You'd have probably laughed too. That's unbelief. I mean, but you think about this. God gave that 90-year-old woman the ability to conceive a child. That's a miracle. Not only to conceive that child, and we see Sarah, she's a young woman. The trouble that she's having, you imagine a 90-year-old woman. Her ability, she's frail. Not only did she conceive the child, she carried the child, and then she delivered that child. You know what? How did she do that? She believed God. You think about that. Believed him. And it is so simple when you understand. But when you don't understand, you try to make belief something that it's not. It's a gift. And to think that he give you life. And we believe God. Believe him. We believe that he's able to do everything he said he would do. We believe it's in his hands. We believe that unless he gives us the ability to believe, we'll never believe. And we believe that unless he keeps us, we'll all perish. We believe him. We believe him. Sin has brought the whole human race into a state of slavery to sin, Satan, and the world. They can't resist. They don't have the ability. They don't have the ability to say no. Slavery. Sin is a sovereign. It rules over all men. It rules. They're just a suggestion and they give in. They can't resist. They can't resist. All the disasters, all the distresses, all the calamities that are or have ever been or will be are the result of sin. You think about all the storms, the hurricanes, and people ain't talking about global warming, whatever they want to talk about. It's all because of sin. Sin. This world's under the curse of sin. But what is man's only hope? Our only hope to be delivered from this condition of spiritual death is the free, sovereign grace of God. The rest of the verse in 1 Corinthians 15:22, in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. As what Adam did, affected all that. And what Christ did, all that are in Christ. And you know, not all men without exception are in Christ, but there are some men that were given to Christ and they were in him. When he was chosen as the elect of God, we were elected in Christ. When our names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, we were given to Christ. How does God love us? He loves us in Christ. We are accepted in Christ. When Christ died, we died. When Christ was buried, we were buried. And when he rose again, we rose. And if Christ be not risen from the dead, we are of all men most miserable. Because those people that have already died and went on, they're perishing. If Christ be not raised from the dead. But why was he raised? Why did he raise from the dead? He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And you know then what happens? One day God crosses your path with the gospel. And he says, Linda, here's what I've done for you. And he gives her the ability to believe it. And she says, I can't explain it. I just believe. We can't explain it. It's like the blind man in John 9. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. We believe. As sin and death came by the first Adam, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Listen what the psalmist says in Psalm 69, verse 1. Our Lord speaking, save me, O God, from the for the waters are come into my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where their floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without cause are more than the hairs of my head, and that they would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully and mightily. But listen to this. Here's what our Lord said. Then I restored that which I took not away. He did what? He restored it. Everything that Adam lost, he restored it. I restored that which I took not away. Salvation comes to sinners by grace alone. Thank goodness it's by grace. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, not in our works, but in him. I'll give you one more scripture, Colossians 2:9. For in Christ, in him, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him. If it's complete, that means it's done. There's nothing lacking. Just think about that. And go home and think about it. Complete. It's complete. It's done. Jim may do a drawing, and when he gets it finished, he's complete. He turns it in because it's complete. Every detail. This is where this goes. This is the size of it. This is how big it is. It is complete, and you are complete in him. You know why? Because he's complete. All the fullness dwells in him, and without him, nothing's complete. And it will never be complete. It's unfinished. But to think that he would make you complete, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Here is the wisdom, grace, and goodness of God. And here's what we can't explain. We can't even hardly understand it, because this is beyond us. That God permitted the sin and the fall of our father Adam. It didn't catch God off guard. It was decreed. It was on purpose. Now, you know that doesn't mean that God's the author of sin. God doesn't tempt any man to sin. But I can tell you it was no accident. You've heard me say, Adam knew a lot about a giving God. But till he fell, he knew nothing about a forgiving God. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. God let all that happen just to reveal his Son and his mercy and grace toward sinners. He permitted all that we might be saved by the work of Christ, the last Adam, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Let's pray.